and upset that you, Mr. Property Owner, come in and insult a neighborhood.
Sir, I'm about to ask you to refrain. I'm about to ask you to refrain from speaking, sir. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
That may be true, but you came in here with a personal motivation. Where were you when all of this was going on? Did you come to City Council? Did you reach out to Mayor and Council about the accusations that you have made here tonight? I'm sorry?
Excuse me.
Well, I have not heard from you,
Ms. Jones,
in the 9 years that I have been here.
Ms. Jones, I'm about to ask you not to direct the questions
I'm about to conclude, Mayor.
I can't ask him not to respond. He's being attacked. So.
Okay, I'm about to conclude. The point is that we work very hard and we do our due diligence in terms of the decisions that we make on behalf of this entire city, not just for one area. And we have had numerous developments that have come before us. Some have been good, some have not been good. And I think by and large, we have voted to ensure that those that were good were voted on, and those that were not, we denied, because they didn't come in here with a holistic approach for the entire city. Again, we've done a comprehensive plan review for 15 years. Every 5 years, we've renewed them. Each time, we've solicited very diligently citizen engagement about what it is that they want, citizens all over this city. And each time, that particular area was asked for and approved to be rural residential. So I vote no on this proposed zoning. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Gosher, I can appreciate the items that you identified as would be positives for the city for this construction, jobs. I think you mentioned tax revenue for the city. But Mr. Gosher, we do not make our decisions on what's appropriate in certain areas of the city in reference to tax revenue. We take other things in consideration. And as my colleague has mentioned about the 2040 comprehensive plan, we do have visions for this entire city. And it is not done in piece and parcels. It is done for the whole city. Your project is out of place in this particular area. I took it upon myself Saturday to go and visit this whole area, all the neighborhoods surrounding the project that you want to put smack dab in the middle of this agricultural neighborhood. It doesn't fit. So I can appreciate the positives that you brought forth. They will be good for the city, but we don't make our decisions just on tax revenue. Thank you.
Any other comment? Mr. Whitmore?
Thank you, Mayor. I, too, agree with both of my colleagues. And knowing Meadow Glen as well as I know Meadow Glen, some of the challenges that they have had with trucks just going through their community as it is, Not a good thing. In reviewing the 2040 comp plan, future land use map, we have, as my colleagues already forestated, we have worked diligently to ensure that The current concerns of our citizens are listened to. Every 5 years, they have an opportunity to come in and they're engaged with the elected officials so that we can continue to work on improving the future land use map as well as the comp plan. There's other ways that we can envision something that would be more suited in that area, but another warehouse is not one of those. And I am in agreement with the Planning and Zoning Board and a couple of my colleagues thus far that is no way that I can consciously vote yes for this. My answer would have to be a complete denial as well. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other comment, Council? Not on the comment I'm going to make it again, basically to ditto what has been said by all three members of Council in this case. But one of the things that we take into consideration as well, the City Council went on a retreat back in early April, and we went through the wish list. Go on the city website, you'll see what is called the three R's, and we looked at the different areas of the city, different areas from parks to downtown development, whole nine yards. And again, thanks staff again for a great job of putting that package together. One of the things that we had to take into consideration is that the future land use map of our city, as well as we implemented the things in the wish list of council. You can go on the City Council website and look. It's called the three City Council. Mayor and Council approves the three R's. One of the things that we were all agreement with, that we have to stick to our comprehensive plan and have to ensure that, number one, we're going to end up probably with a warehouse that falls within the guidelines of a comprehensive plan, which means we'll have to deal with that totally different. But in our good conscience and our efforts to operate in decent order, there's no way I can support coming down and approving an item in this case that contradicts it's not compliant, especially in this case where I'm actually in the compliance industry. So I just thought that, again, I wanted you to make sure that was said. Sir, I'm sorry about your land not being suitable to be sold right now. I can't imagine what that feels like. But, again, there's rules and guidelines that this governing body has to wrap by. And I'll talk to you about that after this, sir. And so with that being said, if there's no other comment by council, there's a motion to deny on the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
The next item is rezoning 2022-045 SCP Acquisitions LLC with concurrent variance 2022-046. The recommendation is based on the proposed development's consistency with the 2040 Comprehensive Plan and future land use map. Staff's recommendation is approval with the conditions. Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed and recommend approval with conditions. This item will be presented by the Planning and Zoning Department.
Good evening again, Council and Mayor. SCP Acquisitions LLC is requesting to rezone 14.98 acres from C2 General Commercial to PD Plan Development to develop a mixed-use community with 288 multifamily residential units, 4,000 square feet of commercial space, and 5.1 acres of conservation open space with a concurrent variance to reduce the number of parking spaces from 2 spaces per unit to 1.5 spaces per unit. There are 2 access points to the proposed development from Meadow Glen Parkway and Renaissance Parkway. The proposed development will include a fitness center, resort-style pool and lounge area, walking trails, and electric charging stations, and a host of other amenities. The future land use map has the proposed property designated as highway mixed use, and the proposed plan development is appropriate for the highway mixed use character area. The rezoning of the property from C2 to PD will not adversely affect the surrounding properties. Based on these reasons, staff is recommending approval conditional. If the rezoning is approved tonight, staff is recommending the conditions that are listed on pages 8 through 10 of the staff report.
Thank you so much. At this time, I will actually open a public hearing. I'm going to actually start with the people in opposition, in support, so that way I can go to opposition in case there's a rebuttal. So in this case, anybody that's in support of the item, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be back here. My name is Will Cassidy. I'm with South City Partners. We are the developer that is responsible for Solstice and the Dillon. So we are excited to be back in Fairburn and have enjoyed a lengthy tenure here in Fairburn, and we commend all of you on incredible job of planning and really thinking ahead about what this city can become and you know, where it's headed. So thank you for great work so far. It's been a pleasure working with both mayor, council, and staff. That said, I will try to be as brief as possible in this presentation. How do I pull that up? Oh, there we go. Okay. So as Ms. Peaks just mentioned, we are seeking to rezone the property that is on the what I'll call the backside or the far east side of Renaissance Parkway. So as you're looking at Highway 74, which runs kind of north-south, Renaissance Parkway runs parallel to that, and this property is on the far east side of that. So you can see on this plan on the screen before you that this site sits in the future land use plan designated mixed use. It also is directly adjacent to the Dillon at Fairburn, which is an existing multifamily asset, as well as in and around existing retail and commercial uses. So from a future land use and planning standpoint, this is consistent with the Fairburn Comprehensive Plan, and in addition creates what we call a truly integrated mixed-use environment, where you have a mixture of both commercial, residential, and retail establishments. Moving further into a little bit more detail, you can see here on the aerial. So, again, the Dillon is located just north of this property. This property is situated between the Dillon and the large Georgia Power easement that you see coming across the bottom of the screen there. Again, it is accessed vis-a-vis Renaissance Parkway, but it is also right at the intersection where Meadow Glen comes off of 74 and dead ends into Renaissance Parkway. Zooming in a little bit further, you can see that this property sits behind the existing commercial and retail establishments that line 74. So it is on the opposite side of the highway from Meadow Glen, the subdivision, and is again further east of the existing commercial and retail establishments. The way we have planned this project, as you can see on this site plan, is we have tried to do a multitude of things. Number one is we've tried to align the entrance with Meadow Glen Parkway as it comes in off of 74. There's a lighted intersection at 74, and there's a divided entrance, as you see on the screen here, that actually comes into what I'm calling the overall sort of master plan mixed-use area, but then this site specifically sits directly there at the front. I realize I'm quickly running out of time.
Unless someone else here, you have a total of 30 minutes in support. Oh,
great, okay.
You don't have to take all 30 minutes.
don't worry.
What a record. Okay.
So 27 minutes and counting. I'll try to be as brief as I can. So again, this property is situated directly at the intersection of Renaissance Parkway and Meadow Glen, where it intersects. What we're seeking to do here is create a site plan that integrates a multitude of things. Number one is the existing commercial with some additional commercial. So this project is planned to have some ground floor commercial space at that main intersection. So if you can see on the screen there, there's two orange boxes that kind of flank the entrance coming off of Meadow Glen. That is proposed as a civic sort of public plaza. So that would contain some ground floor retail. There'd be residential above that, but there would be an open access drive and parking area such that would serve the larger community. That would also help integrate better with the existing commercial around it, and by that I mean create a truly walkable, integrated, mixed-use environment by virtue of the integration of the commercial, the residential that we're planning, and then the residential that also exists to the north. As Ms. Peaks mentioned, we've also planned some conservation space in this plan. So bordering the south side of the plan here, you'll see some open green space. Again, there's a big Georgia Power swath that kind of cuts through there.
Yes,
that's always going to be kind of green and open. So the idea there is that you really create kind of an open green corridor that with some cooperation later might be able to work with the city to help create something with Georgia Power as well. The site plan before you consists of 288 units. It's a mixture of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units, so a variety of floor plans within those. We learned a lot from our experience in the previous two projects. What we have seen is a tremendous appetite to be in Fairburn. We have seen doctors and nurses, teachers and lawyers, movie film production crew. We've seen a multitude of jobs that have all sought out Fairburn, be it from Atlanta or Fayetteville or locally within Fairburn, that have relocated just, you know, to our projects. Because we have found that, you know, the quality of product that we build and the atmosphere that we create has become highly desirable for a multitude of reasons. I mean, we have, you know, 20-somethings that are moving in with their first job, and we have, you know, grandma who wants to be closer to the grandkids. So we cater to a wide array of demographics as well because, again, we build a variety of different unit types, and we build quality product that does attract that quality resident. To show you some of the sort of aesthetics in terms of what we're planning, again, we did develop the Dillon. What we're seeking to do here is something that is complementary but different. So we want this project to stand on its own, but we also want it to blend together with what's in the area without feeling like it's a departure from what's the existing aesthetic and the existing environment. So with that said, the aesthetics on the screen here, the renderings that you see are in keeping with what you would expect to see with a fully finished product. As you can see here, this perspective is taken as though you were entering from Meadow Glen. So the plaza and the courtyard and whatnot that I mentioned that would be sort of open to the public is before you on this screen here. This is a rendering of what we'd anticipate amenity spaces looking like. So similar to what we've done previously, this project would be fully amenitized, including a pool and a fitness center and a club room and a dog spa and a car wash and you name it, we've tried to incorporate it. So, again, we see this project catering to a wide variety of prospective residents. And this is just another rendering that shows you the color palette, the materiality, et cetera, that you would expect to use. And all of this is in keeping with the design guidelines within Fairburn. These are photos from the existing project, the Dillon. So if you haven't had the opportunity to tour or to see the interior and exterior of that project, these are photos from that existing project. So these are here in Fairburn, and we would welcome the opportunity to tour anybody at any time if they'd like to go through and take a look. But we just wanted to demonstrate, again, the quality of product that we build. We're very thoughtful about the design. Very thoughtful about the spaces that we create and really the community atmosphere that we create. During the pandemic, we saw great use and great engagement from all the residents of the Dillon. The communal spaces, you know, we had to shut down initially because we didn't know what was going on, but as time went on, what we found is that people really did enjoy coming together and being in places, you know, though they may have to be 6 feet apart, they still enjoyed being in the same place, and we try to create environments that foster that. Again, additional photos. I'll flip through these quickly. Fully outfitted fitness center. A sample of an interior unit. So I welcome any questions, but would just like to, finish up by saying that we do believe that this project is consistent with the surroundings and believe that this project is in keeping with the comprehensive plan, and we are excited to come back to Fairburn and work alongside a great city and staff, and I hope that we have the opportunity to do that. So thank you very much.
Once we have, once we close the public hearing and an item is on the floor, members of council may have questions for you.
Okay.
And so that, in our efforts to stay in compliance with the public hearing rules. So is there anyone else here? There's actually 10 minutes left in the support phase. Is there anyone else here wish to speak in support of this item? Okay. Is there anyone here that wish to speak in opposition to this project? Seeing none, I will now close the public hearing. Perfect timing.
That's my 30-minute clock.
Okay. Members of council, you... I'm sorry, that was a good one. Members of council, you have before you, based on the proposed development consistencies with the 2040 comprehensive plan and future land use map, staff recommends approval with the established conditions. Is there a motion?
So moved.
This item. So moved to approve. Okay, there's a motion on the floor to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made by Ms. Davis to second. Are there any questions by the members of council?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll go one. I'll go Ms. Davis, Mr. Smallwood, Mr. Whitmore, Ms. Jones, and then Mr. Heath.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Cassidy?
Yeah.
Okay. I just have a couple. I noticed that if the public participation, you had only one meeting for the citizens within 750 feet of this project. And it shows that 7 property owners were present. A couple of questions. What were their concerns, if they had any, in that meeting? And why was there not maybe another meeting so you could engage more citizens in that area to see what their thoughts are about this project?
Sure. So to start, we actually extended that radius beyond what we were required to do because we did want to try to get as much engagement as we could. So despite that the regulations only require within a certain radius, we actually extended that to the entire Meadow Glen neighborhood, for example, and beyond the required radius. We did only have 7 people attend that hearing. We did feel like we did some other community engagement that maybe wasn't sort of record. So we did canvass the surrounding businesses. We did canvass, we did speak with some of the other residents on more of a one-on-one basis. And based on the comments or questions that we got, we didn't sense that there was any objection that was really necessitated another meeting or anything like that. I think most of the questions were surrounding the location of the project, frankly. I think there was some confusion about an existing, I think it's a Tractor Supply that's under construction. It's on that side of the street. So I think people were concerned that we had already started construction and we're asking for input. And we were like, no, we're on the opposite side of the highway. So for those reasons, I think we, though it may not have been a public meeting or a public record, we did consult with others in the community and we did engage community leaders in those conversations. So perhaps I should have spoken to that, so my apologies. But I think the concerns that we heard, frankly, weren't concerns. It was more just questions and fact-finding and information. So I think, generally speaking, everybody was supportive of what we were trying to do.
Okay, so no major concerns or no major changes or whatever?
No, ma'am.
Okay. My other question I wanted to know, in reference to the parking spaces, you want to change from 2 parking spaces to 1.5 parking spaces. And I know you did Dillon project, and I think we agreed with that 1.5 parking spaces. You know. So, but I actually called Dillon to see if the residents had any issues with parking there. In that facility, at that complex, and the manager I spoke with said they didn't. But it seems that it is adequate enough parking. So, and I guess I have a question for Ms. Peaks in reference to that, because it looks like that's what the trend is going toward. So I wanted to, I'll check with Ms. Peaks on that later. So,
and if I might speak to that briefly, yes, just to add a little clarity. So there's a couple things happening. Number one, what we seek to do, I think most of the codes are written around a space count per unit. But in our case, because we do a higher concentration of 1 bedrooms, which I'll spare you the details of why, but because we do a higher concentration of 1 bedrooms, what we start to look more at is the parking space per bedroom ratio. And so doing 1.5 per unit based on the unit mix we have really triangulates more toward like 1 per bedroom. And so that coupled with just the changes in transportation and Uber and Lyft and those things being a much bigger factor in transit daily, in addition to the fact that we're directly across from the park and ride, We are integrated within commercial establishments that allow people to sort of do less driving. And then generally just sort of national trends in vehicular usage, I think, all lead toward the parking ratio that we're requesting. And thank you for calling, because, you know, as we have found over the last few years, we have built more parking, and we've seen projects be severely overparked, and we've sort of fine-tuned that number over the last few years into, you know, ratios that frankly do serve the communities better. So that allows us to create more green space and more amenities and more other things, as opposed to totally underutilized parking.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. I wanted to ask Ms. Beeks, do you see a need that we may, and you probably have already looked into this and maybe decided as to do we need to make some changes? So, okay.
Yes. Our parking regs are a little antiquated. I think there is a cause to review our parking regulations. Our current ordinance for parking for residential uses is just pretty blanket. It's just two parking spaces per residential use. It doesn't take into account the type of residential use. So that's the first thing. And then with some of the things that Mr. Cassidy mentioned about Uber and Lyft, and, you know, a younger population is really not, you know, getting into cars as my generation and maybe y'all generation. So just trends and modes of transportation, I think it's worth a while that we take a look at our parking regulations overall.
Okay. And while you're there, Ms. Peeks, one other thing I wanted to ask in reference to staff recommendations. Having more rooftops will help us in a lot of ways in reference to nice restaurants and what have you, and that's always welcome for us to get to that point. But what is the area range for attracting that quality retail and commercial in reference to rooftops? Is it a radius of?
I wish I knew what that number was. But I can tell you this, is that just being in conversations with developers and at conferences, they do look at a radius, a 2-mile, 3-mile, 4-mile radius. And they also look at economics as far as income and education. So there's a lot of other things that come into play other than just rooftops. So I think that's something that the city as a whole, we need to, you know, get a good grasp on what that number is, because I don't know what that number is, and maybe the Economic Development Department may have an answer to that better than me, but I think it's a lot of other things involved in that than just rooftops, but rooftops is kind of the thing that most people talk about in reference to, because it brings the economics, the education, and all those other things, so... No, I didn't answer your question totally, but...
Mr. Davis, what I would add to that, and Ms. Peeks is very accurate, is that is really a function of our economic development efforts. And working with Ms. Abernathy and Mr. Pike, who, you know, we've brought on board as a consultant, that tends to vary, those numbers and those data points vary by industry. So if you're talking about a grocery store versus a white tablecloth restaurant, those numbers play out differently. And so we've added that expertise to our team to be sure that we can focus on that intently. We got that message really clearly coming out of our retreat. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted you to know that we are focusing on that, and economic development will be bringing forth more information on how we can get our arms around what those numbers look like. But rooftops are key.
Yeah.
And can I
would just hope that...
Okay. No, you stay out of the fly. I want to make a point that he mentioned, too, that will answer something. Also, part of the reason we brought on Mr. Pike again is because I wanted to just give one example of several that I could give where I personally went to, like the Flying Biscuit, went to Jim and Nick's. I've gone to the different restaurants and tried to secure.
Right.
And one of the first things they talked about was that the radius was too close to Fairburn. And so as a result of that, I guess, that fail-safe effort, that led to me and the city manager basically coming to agreement of we have to get somebody that knows this industry and knows the people that like you said, based on the different, whether it be retail, whether it be restaurants, and that could kill a lot of our ambulance chasing, excuse that vernacular, But that's to answer part of what you've got the same concerns I've got.
Yeah, go right. Ahead. Because our residents, restaurant and a grocery store, and I mean, you know, we're adding these rooftops and stuff, and I just want to see how close we are to that, you know. I'm done, Mayor. Thanks. Thanks, Ms. P.
Mr. Smallwood, you're next.
Mine is just a curiosity question about Dillon and Solstice. I'm hearing good things, first of all, I say, too. My daughter actually tried to get in Dillon, but y'all didn't have a unit for her, so we lost her to Douglasville. All right.
About that.
But capacity, what Solstice, I know because over the years we've looked at it, and I know with homes being premium right now, that's like one of the things I was in a workshop in Savannah on, not enough homes to meet the demand. But what's the capacity of Solstice in Dillon right now? That's all I want to know.
In terms of what their existing occupancy is?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you today. That fluctuates. But generally speaking, I want to say those were hovering around 99%.
Yeah.
So it's, as you mentioned, it's tough to find a place. So
yeah.
And I think nationally that's been a trend. I mean, especially in the Sun Belt, we've been the beneficiaries of a lot of in-migration and continue to be. So I think population growth in places like Fairburn, our challenge will be meeting the demand for the influx of housing needs to continue to allow these communities to thrive.
Yeah, because that's what they also said in Savannah. Like, even in the pandemic, we are one of those states that's still adding a lot of people to it. So, all right, thank you.
Mr. Whitmore.
Yes, Ms. Cassie, good evening to you.
Just stay up here.
A couple of questions for you. First of all, Dillon and Solstice, very well-produced projects. I happen to be here for both of them. That's a good thing. My question to you is, because of the cost of homes, and a lot of people are going into condos, apartments, and so on and so forth, but you mentioned that you're going to have 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. Majority of them are going to be 1 bedroom. Can you give me a breakdown of the 1, 2, and 3?
Sure. Bedrooms? Would you like that on a percentage basis? Or?
Yes.
So right now it is 64% 1s, 32% 2s, and 4% 3s. That may change a unit or two here or there, so negligibly, but that is the mix that we're planning.
Okay. And also, I'm sure you have done your financial due diligence, and you have an idea where your starting price range will be for those units?
We do. And we, like everyone, are victims of what's been going on with inflation and cost escalation and all that. So our rates will start at about $1,450 for a one-bedroom. And depending on the floor plan and the size of the unit and all that, that'll go up to, you know, call it $1,650, somewhere in that range. Two bedrooms will start around $1,950. And depending on the floor plan, we'll go up from there. And then threes will start around $2,300.
Okay. All right. And also, in looking at your site plan or what you presented, so it looks like as you're coming in from Meadow Glen, and you have the building to your left and to your right, and the commercial buildings that are on the bottom, how many commercial entities are you anticipating with the sides of those buildings?
Sure, great question. It's a little early today to tell you exactly what we think that'll be. A lot of that, what will happen is as we get further into the construction process, we will survey, for lack of a better word, the existing businesses, uses, and services in the area. What we'll try to do is determine what is lacking or what there's more opportunity for. So we'll look at the point in time that we get to be able to go sign a lease with somebody, and we'll say, okay, what uses are needed here? And then we'll start targeting those uses. So if we, for example, find out that, you know, a particular restaurant concept is missing, we'll go try to seek out that particular restaurant concept. Or conversely, if it's a retail service, I'll just make something up here, but if we find out that there's a need for dry cleaning, which is actually something that we heard from one of the neighborhood communications that we had. If there's a need for that, then we'll try to seek that out and bring that business in. So it's a little difficult to say today, but I would tell you based on the footage, the square footage that we're planning to construct, it's anywhere between, you know, 2 and 6 businesses, just depending on the footage that they require for their particular use, you know, how that use is situated, et cetera.
Per side?
No, in total. So there's 4,000 feet in total split between the two buildings, and that's a rough number. It may be 4,064 or something like that at the end of the day. But between the two, there'd be, so what did I say, 2 to 6, so 1 to 3 on either side.
Now I have one additional question for you. Sure. I'm sure that you have some people that you have communicated with in reference to coming in to fulfill some of these commercial buildings. No commitments, I understand. But as soon as you have that information, if we can also share that with our city administrator, because we want to make sure that we have Fairburn residents that are able to get some of these jobs. And as I go through a lot of the businesses throughout Fairburn, especially the newer ones, and I'm asking how many are Fairburnites, and I'm alarmed to find out that they're coming in from out of the city of Fairburn. But again, I'm not sure if those numbers or if that information is being shared with the city so we can get that word out so our residents will have an opportunity to apply and fulfill some of those job opportunities.
Certainly, no, we welcome the opportunity to work with the city to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Jones?
Yes, could you put up the site plan, please? And while he's doing that, good to see you again, Mr. Cassidy. And I want to make sure that I'm associating you. I know about the Solstice and Dillon, but the last project you came before us, was it for the same location that you're discussing today?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
Okay, and that particular project we denied, very similar to what you're proposing here, but it did not have retail, if I recall.
That's correct. It did not.
Okay. So, Ms. Peaks, is this the first mixed-use project for the city of Fairburn?
No, it's not the first mixed-use.
Where's the other one?
Dorm
housing.
With Dorm Lakes is a planned development. Avalon is a planned development.
Well, no, in terms of mixed-use, retail, and housing.
None.
None. So this is
aware of. This is the first one that has a commercial component. The
yes.
other ones just had various residential components and maybe conservation space in reference to Dorm Lakes, where they have, well, Dorm Lakes have the commercial component, but it hasn't been built yet.
Okay, okay. All right, thank you. Okay, Mr. Cassidy. So the previous project for which we denied, one of the main reasons that we denied it was because of you had asked the city for tax breaks. Tax incentives. Is that the case in this project?
Yes, ma'am. We would anticipate working with the Development Authority of Fairburn to pursue what's called a Bonds for Title program. What that enables us to do is frankly, bring down the cost of the housing. So the costs that I mentioned, the rates that I mentioned are able to be reduced some with the benefit of the Bonds for Title program. So we have implemented that same program on the other two projects. So both Solstice and the Dillon were in that program.
But they were not City of Fairburn.
They were not City of Fairburn at the time. We did not, either we weren't aware or we didn't have enough conversation at the time to know that going through the city was an opportunity. So we were excited to find out that it was. We went through Fulton County on both of those, but we anticipate going through the city on this one.
Is the city the only tax-paying entity for which you're seeking tax breaks?
No, the county participates in that program as well.
Okay. All right. Give me a minute, because I'm just reliving our last discussion about this particular project. Okay, given that you are seeking tax breaks, $1,450 for one bedroom is supposed to be affordable with tax dollars. I think we need to reconsider that rate because that's not affordable for, an average person seeking a one-bedroom apartment, right, for the working class. And I know affordability has a dirty word, is a dirty word, but it really isn't, okay? There aren't many of us that are paying $1,400 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. So you can appreciate and understand my issue here. So my question is that do we have the ability to rework the average rent on those apartments? If not all of them, a percentage of them that would meet the state and federal guidelines for affordability.
Sure. So we are always out to try to create the best affordability that we can, frankly, because that helps ensure that we're able to lease up our project. So it's in our interest to ensure that those rates are as attractive as possible, first and foremost. I guess what I would say is we are also sort of at the mercy of economics, right? So the project is only viable if it can produce certain returns. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. The short answer to your question is yes, we can certainly investigate how to potentially incorporate some type of carve-out or some type of identified percentage of units, if that's something that the Development Authority wants to work with us to do. I would tell you that, again, both of the other projects that we constructed in Fairburn are in that same program. Those did not have an affordable requirement, but are both 99% occupied at these rates and above, frankly. So the Dillon, for example, if you were to walk in the door tomorrow to lease at the Dillon, the rates would be north of the ones that I just quoted.
And that in lies the problem, because now housing is becoming unaffordable in Fairburn. And yes, you're right. You're probably going to have overwhelming demand for those units. In fact, the mere fact that you are back before us for the same area to develop a very similar project with a little twist speaks to the demand for it. But affordability really is an issue, so I'd really like for us to have some conversations about that, especially, and yes, it'll be the Development Authority, but the Development Authority is the City of Fairburn, and it is the taxpayers' dollars, okay? So the project needs to try to address some of those issues, so I'm glad to hear that you are willing to address that. The site plan, please. I want to ask you about the retail space. Okay, the one that shows, I guess the rendering that shows the retail space.
Left and right.
Yes, that one.
That one.
Yeah. Yes, that one. Okay, so if I'm looking at this correctly, you already told us that, and the document states, that the total square footage for retail space is 4,000 square feet, and that's for the two buildings, which would be anywhere from 2 to 6 commercial units, depending on who wants what space. In looking at the rendering, the retail space seems to be on the side street versus Renaissance Parkway, which would be pointing toward Highway 74. Is that correct?
It's a little bit. It kind of wraps the corner. So if I don't know if you can zoom in on that.
I see it. The top one, you can see it, but the bottom one seems to be on the side street only.
I mean, it'll still wrap the corner. I mean, it doesn't go quite as far, I guess, south on the screen as okay. The one on the north does. But you will see it from both ends. I mean, if you go back to that the rendering that shows kind of entering the project, I mean, you will see retail space. There you go. You will see the retail space. So that rendering you're looking at is reflective of the site plan you were just looking at.
Okay. So my question to you is why is the retail space only at the corners rather than the entire first floor?
Sure. So for a number of reasons. First and foremost, because it all needs parking accessible to it. When you get too far away from the parking, it becomes a challenge just from a viability standpoint for that particular business. Secondly, because we sit on what we call the second tier of the site, so again, there's a bunch of existing commercial in front of our project. So retail requires visibility. So you need to be able to see it and know it's there. Otherwise, you just drive right by. This particular location, kind of at the corners, focused on where Meadow Glen comes in and intersects Renaissance Parkway, is a visible corridor. So you can see that retail space when you turn on the street, when you're driving by. You can see that. It's visible. It's accessible. You know it's there. So from a sheer viability standpoint, we felt that it was necessary to concentrate that retail on the corners at the plaza because we think, A, it creates more viability for the retailers. B, it creates an atmosphere and an environment in that courtyard that's appealing. It allows restaurants to do little patios and create energy in that courtyard. And then the third thing is when you go to a total ground floor retail, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. you enter into a totally different construction type, which takes your construction costs through the roof. So all the issues we just mentioned vis-a-vis the rates and the taxes and all those things, those all get exacerbated by virtue of doing something like that. So for all those reasons, we've been very thoughtful about how we plan this retail, and that's what's led us to the plan that you see.
Okay. And you mentioned parking. So where is the parking for the retail? Because this is a gated community. Is that correct?
It is, but can you go back to the site plan? So the gates will actually sit behind the plaza. So if you see on the you see the yellow building in the middle there? So
yes.
There's a gate just to the kind of top side of that, and there's another gate to the bottom side. So all of that parking in the main plaza is all public parking. So you'd enter that plaza, you could park, circulate, et cetera, but the gates are actually set back into the site. I'd run up there and point at the screen, but that would probably not be
okay.
You can turn around and look.
Yeah.
Around the corner.
So here, so there and then to the north.
That's the laser.
Oh, thank you.
There's a pointer on there.
Okay. So, Ms. Peaks, do we have parking requirements for retail space, and what is that? And will that conflict with what they're proposing to do?
It's not a conflict. We did the math on the parking requirements. It's for the Highway 74 Overlay District, I think it's one space for every 200 square feet of commercial space, I think off the top of my head.
Okay, one parking space for every 200 square feet
of parking space. Yep, and we did the math, and it met the requirement.
All right, and then while you're still up, I noticed in the staff recommendation, you stated that it should be a maximum of 3 bedrooms. Why are we dictating the 1 bedroom size and 3 maximum of?
You referring to the conditions?
Yes.
So we gave it a maximum number of 3 bedrooms that so that they won't exceed that number of 3 bedrooms. So the bedroom counts will be mostly 1 and 2 bedrooms and not 3 bedrooms.
But why? I mean, is that because of market? Is that because of the cost to build? I mean, I would think there would be a high demand for 3 bedrooms, or no?
I don't know. I think we'll be able to answer that question a little better than needing for us a 3 bedroom, the need for it. But most of that, too, is to the 1 and 2 bedrooms is mostly the demand that's in the market right now. And so we didn't want a community that had a large number of 3 bedroom units in them. And so because that's not what the trend is. And so therefore, you're going into apartments that can't be rented because there's no need for them.
I see. Okay. All right, then. That concludes my questioning. But so I'd like to offer a substitute motion. I think that's what I'm supposed to do. But my point is the discussion regarding the affordable housing and the percentage of that staff, Mr. Cassidy, this body would need time to figure out how we might be able to do that. And so I'm asking for a continuance And it could be to the next meeting or whatever is appropriate so that we have time to do the due diligence relative to the affordable housing.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I would just request that we separate the zoning and the affordable housing because I think that is more appropriately addressed within the context of the tax abatement program, because there is a chance that if we can figure this out without that, we will seek to do so. We will only ask for that if it's necessary to make the project a reality. So I would just ask that the affordable housing piece of that conversation be dovetailed into the conversation with the tax abatement as opposed to the zoning, because from a zoning standpoint, we think this meets the requirements for the zoning, but the affordable housing is more a function of economics and a function of you know, dictating terms for a market rate project, which, again, we will agree to do in the context of the tax abatement conversation. But I would just humbly ask that we separate the zoning issue from the affordable housing and tax issue.
First of all, we weren't aware about the tax abatement conversation, at least I wasn't. And that puts a different light on the project for me. Because of the demand and because it is a profitable project, quite frankly, you have no incentive to do so. And so I'm asking either that it be a condition of or that we do a continuance so that we have a chance to do the research. For consideration, please.
There's a substitute, first of all, there's a substitute motion being proposed. Is there a second? I have to bring the substitute.
The
substitute motion fails for the lack of a second. You're back to your regular motion. In this case, actually, I go now. Ms. Jones, you still have the floor. The substitute motion did not get a second.
Yes, I heard
now,
you.
Actually, you had two other council members that wanted to comment before they vote. Mr. Heath is next. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. What is the square footage of the one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom?
Sure. So those vary based on the floor plan. So the one-bedrooms would start at about 642 square feet, and there's a number of plans. So those would go up to 803 would be about the top end on the one-bedrooms. The two-bedrooms would start at about 1090 and go up to 1220. And then the three bedrooms would be about 1450, 1455 in terms of square footage.
Got it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Whitmore and then Ms. Davis.
Yes. Actually, it's going to be to you first, and maybe Ms. Peek second, and maybe our planning and zoning attorney third. All right. So can you tell me, going down the same line of questioning that Mayor Pro Tem had, can you tell me the normal market practice of the percentage of affordable units?
So
on a new construction.
The normal market practice, in my experience, has always been coupled with some type of offset, meaning there's a tax abatement or there's a incentive or there's some type of assistance package provided with that. The reason for that being is when you impose an affordable requirement on a market deal, effectively what happens is you're subsidizing the affordable units with the market rate units rent. So the market rate residents end up having to pay some portion of that rent because at the end of the day, like I mentioned, we're subject to the same economics that everyone else is in that if a project is not financially feasible, it has to make sense somehow. So in our experience, all of the affordable components we have seen have been coupled with some type of financial assistance package. Now, whether that's through a development authority or a municipality directly or whatever that may be, that is what we have seen. Now, to answer your question in terms of what that percentage is, that also fluctuates. We've seen everywhere from 5% to 15%. So it just depends on what that package looks like, what the economics are of that particular situation.
So what this body has done for single-family homes, new construction in the city of Fairburn, we put a condition on there
to limit the amount of rentals, all right, which the same concept could be applied even for rental, the rental, what is this? It's not apartments. This is condos.
Apartments.
Condos, okay. So with that in mind, my question is now to either Ms. Peaks or Ms. Valerie. Showing the history of this body, a condition of a percentage of affordable housing, how could we craft that into something that this body can consider, taking into consideration what my colleague, Mayor Pro Tem, has spoke on, which has gotten all of our ears, I believe. And the only reason I don't think she got a second because there were some additional questions that was going through some of our minds. And I see a couple of people nodding. So I'm just trying to figure out how we can move forward with something along the same basis that we have put together for single-family homes in the city of Fairburn.
So for purposes of a condition of zoning, the point is to lessen the impact of the zoning change on surrounding neighbors. This type of condition of zoning would not do that because it doesn't speak to the zoning change. So I think that's the issue.
Okay. So then I go back to the original question or the original proposal by my colleague. Legally, how can we move forward tonight with something that's palatable to the developer and this body?
From a zoning change standpoint, I don't recommend that you put that in your zoning conditions. Okay. It may be a conversation later in terms of the development authority. I'm not privy to that. But in terms of the condition of zoning, the purpose is to lessen the impact of the zoning change on the neighboring community. So what you have for, you know, single-family homes, when you put that rental cap, mm-hmm. it's to make sure that you have more home ownership mm-hmm. than you have renters.
Okay.
That's the difference. But with apartments, you're renting. So it's not similar to what you're speaking about with the rental cap. And I think with the zoning condition, the standard, like I said, is really to protect and make sure that it benefits the neighbors that are affected by this zoning change that's before council. So that has to be the thrust of the zoning condition. So it can't be about, or it should not be about, affordability, housing, development authority, whatever the bond issue is. Like I said, I'm not really familiar with the details of that. But if you're looking at it from just a strict zoning condition standard, you want to make sure that that zoning change does not adversely affect surrounding neighbors. And that's why it's looked at in a vacuum. It has to protect. The zoning change cannot be adverse to the community. A zoning condition like this does not really speak to that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. So now I'm back to you. So now, more than ever, based on some of the conversation that you heard here tonight, communication with our administrator's office, it's really something that we really need to make happen, because I know you're still talking about dealing with the county for tax credits and so on and so forth, okay? But what our city administrator and what this elected body is doing is looking out for the citizens in the city of Fairburn, those that are here, those that are coming, all right? And I think that's why my colleague, and I'm not speaking for my colleague, she does a great job speaking for herself, but that's why when she heard the comments about the rents, all right, and I can tell you a personal story. My sister moved down here from Baltimore, Maryland, started out in an apartment, and that next year it went from $1,450 almost to $1,800. Retired, fixed income, and now she's no longer in the city of Fairburn. So that's a real life story. So when we get those individuals coming into our city and thriving and enjoying the things that we offer here in the city, you want to keep them. So in order to keep them, that conversation, we really need to drive it home and go back through the city administrator, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to have that type of conversation since we're not able to do it the way I was thinking of.
Right. Okay, Ms. Davis, and then we'll take a vote.
Just quick, really. I'm going to tear this thing up. Mr. Cassidy, what are the comparable rates, the rental rates for Dillon and Solstice? Is this rate so far more expensive than those two complexes that you have a 99% rate of occupancy?
No, ma'am. These rates are consistent, if not below the existing rates of those assets today.
Okay.
All right, members of council, we have, and I apologize, I'm trying to make sure, we have a motion on the floor to, Ms. Ray, we have a motion on the floor to approve, do we not?
Hold on.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm just, we're going to have someone's dialogue. Okay, I believe there's a motion been made and properly second. Okay, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
All right, that motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Next item. All right, Ms. Ray, would you sign our next item?
The third item is an ordinance to amend Chapter 53, Article 2, Division 2 in the Code of Ordinance to revise the homestead exemption for the City of Fairburn. For Mayor and Council to approve the ordinance to amend Chapter 53, Article 2, Division 2 to revise the qualifications for the homestead exemptions. This item will be presented by the Finance Department.
All right, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members.
Good evening.
And the citizens of Fairburn. Last month, the proposed homestead exemption was presented for your review and guidance. Excuse me. Today, we come before you to seek approval to turn the proposed changes into an ordinance. The key changes are the removal of the income requirements for seniors and disabled citizens. Provide 100% exemptions to veterans that have 100% disability. Provide a $50,000 tax break for veterans that have less than 100% disability. Provide a $50,000 tax break for the unmarried widow, widower of a peace officer, firefighter, or military member killed in line of duty. We believe that the ordinance presented today is in alignment with the Refresh, Rebrand, and Renew initiative. We want to thank you and ask that you approve this ordinance. I open up the floor for any questions.
Members of Council, you have before you for the Mayor and Council to approve an ordinance to amend Chapter 53, Article 2, Division 2, to revise the qualification for homestead exemption. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Okay. Motion to approve, Mr. Patton, and second by Ms. Davis. Are there any questions or comments by council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Next item.
The next item is to purchase an installation of electric and water meters by Kendall Supply Incorporated. For Mayor and Council to approve the purchase and installation of 416 electric meters and 1,500 water meters from Kendall Meter Supply Incorporated in the amount of $587,960 for the meter changeout program. This item will be presented by the Utilities Department.
Go ahead, sir.
Mayor and Council, once again, this agenda item is to approve the purchase and installation 416 electric meters and 1,500 water meters from Kendall Meter Supply Incorporated. Utilities Department did a field audit that revealed that 600 to 700 water meters and approximately 400 electric meters need to be replaced due to their service life had expired. This meant these meters had to be manually read and are estimated. Council has approved this project as a necessity through the ARPA funds. This approval will begin a comprehensive meter replacement that not only benefits the distribution system by creating a more efficient operation, but allows the municipality to maintain the lowest possible rates for the residents and businesses. Kinder Meter Supply Incorporated is the sole manufacturer of the Sensus brand water meters and automated meter reading equipment that utilities are currently using. Once approved, electric and water meters will be installed by Sensus meter contractor Aqua Meter Consultants as they experienced in this type of meter conversion. If approved, a timeline for the project will be presented. During the changeout, important inspections will also be conducted. First, staff will inspect the lines to run to and from the water meters to help the city comply with the new lead and copper rule. These rules state that cities must verify the material service lines and determine if they qualify to be replaced. Also, staff will collect and verify information for a cross-connection / backflow prevention control and verify information in this survey for residential properties only as required by the state. There are mandated EPD compliance levels that must be addressed immediately. We're using the AMR automatic meter reading, which requires the meter readers to automatically collect readings from either walk-by or drive-by. This change-out will move Fairburn toward the new technology of the AMI, advanced metering infrastructure. This doesn't require meter readers to collect the data system, the data through the system. The system automatically transmits the data directly to a fixed network. This will free up the meter reader's time for needed work such as disconnections, tampering, and et cetera. This technology also provides more information to the customer to allow them to manage consumption and usage, cost, detect water leaks before monthly readings, allow for the measuring of electricity and water usage on a daily, hourly, or on-demand basis. This type of technology is in the mayor's vision of Fairburn's focus of refresh, rebrand, and renew. So staff recommends that mayor and council approve the purchase and installation of these 416 electric meters and 1,500 water meters by Kinder Meter Supply in the amount of $587,960 for the meter change-out program.
Members of Council, you have before you approval of the purchase of installation of 416 electric meters and 1,500 water meters from Kendall Meter Supply, Inc. in the amount of $587,960 for the meter change-out program. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion to approve by Ms. Davis and second. Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Heath. Any questions or comments?
Yes, Mayor, I have a question.
Mayor Pro Tem, go ahead.
Mr. Martin, is there a direct correlation with the customers who have inconsistent bills, you know, high bill 1 month, low bill the next month? Is there a direct correlation with the meter reading? Having to, rather than having the electric meters?
Usually most of everything we do on a case-by-case basis. I wouldn't say in terms of majority, but on some of the cases we found out that the meters have been in the ground too long. We got so many different kinds and brands of meters. We need to come to a consensus of having one that aligns with a technology system like this similar moving into the direction for the AMI, which residents can just go into their account. They can see their readings as they go along. They can determine whether they need to cut back, or whether they have a leak or something that's going on. It gives them a more insight to everything.
All right. If this item is approved, I'm asking that we monitor that because to this day we still don't know why. You know, there's a spike in certain customers' bill 1 month and not the next. And it doesn't seem to be the same customer either. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And so I think we really do need to get a handle on what's causing this. And this has been going on, you know, for the 9 years I've been on council, right? And we just seem to have not been able to grasp why this is happening. So the fact that we will have consistent meters throughout the city, that at least gives us one basis. And then we can eliminate. But if we can start collecting that data, that would be fantastic.
Yes, ma'am. That's a tremendous suggestion. If you would indulge me, I'd like to have our utilities building manager, Ms. Lane, kind of speak to that as well.
Okay.
That is directly what her and her staff manage each day.
Okay.
So, Mr. Martin, if you could allow her to just talk about Mayor Pro Tem's question.
Good evening again. So we do track those concerns. What's been happening is as the meters are getting old, the system will estimate, and that could be based on prior consumption, it could be based on previous occupants. And let's just say if you lived in a house and you had five people and you were using more water, but when I move in, it's only two of us. So that consumption, if the system is estimating, it is guessing based on prior consumption. So for those like that, we have been manually reading them. So what happens is we'll get a report, and it may say you have 1,000 that have not picked up in the handheld. We have to put meter readers on the ground and go out and visually read all those meters.
Okay, and I understand and appreciate that, but that shouldn't happen for ongoing basis, right?
Well, it would happen if the software in the ground is old and is dying.
Okay.
So the meters in the ground, the infrastructure is very old in Fairburn. You have some areas that are 20 years old, 15. So if it's not communicating on a monthly basis, that will happen every month. So if this month I have 1,000 reads, and let's just say I have three meter readers, the goal is to get 1,100 reads, but some months we can only get 800. So those other meters are being estimated. So I may pick it up 1 month, and then the next month I'm guessing based off of the system.
Okay.
So that will be a consistent failure if it's not changed out. Yes, it will be consistent.
This investment should have a distinct impact on improving your very question. What she's explaining essentially, and I won't repeat all that, she's the expert, is because our infrastructure is aged, all of those estimates and meters that aren't reading consistently is causing an ongoing issue. So this investment through the American Rescue Plan should directly improve that. Our goal is to make sure our billing is accurate. We have room for growth there, as you've experienced over the last 9 years. And our goal is to use this investment to make significant progress in that specific issue, as well as improving our overall infrastructure.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Lane.
You're welcome.
Mr. Martin, when you talk about infrastructure, so your ask is for meters. What else, a part of the infrastructure, are we buying with this? We've got the physical meter, but what's the infrastructure that goes with that? Is that part of this, or are we connecting to existing infrastructure? And I heard Ms. Lane say, you know, some of it is old, and so I'm sure that's not what we're doing. But could you just help me to understand, what we're buying?
What we're buying is the replacement for the meters that are out of life. That's for electric and water. If you look also at that, we get a caveat with that, and that is with the electrics, we get remote disconnect. So when infusing with that, with the AMI, which is a host computer, it actually wouldn't have a meter reader to go out and ride around and collect things. It automatically just cranks it up whenever it's time to read. Then it'll bring that data in from there. And you wouldn't have to have a meter read in on even on your worst days of lightning, thundering. It transmit all this back to a host computer. So that is the buildup for the future. And with what we're getting all of that. We're getting it installed, and we're also doing the lead and copper roofs the same time, and we're building up for our backflow so we'll know that everybody is having all our EPD compliances done at one time.
Okay, so infrastructure, though, the hardware, I guess, may be a better term. So we're buying a meter, physical meter. What is the meter connecting to? Are we having to replace that as well?
No, that comes with it. Those are the endpoints and the antennas that go out.
I see. Okay. I'm glad to know, you know, this would put us in a position to deal with the federal requirements regarding the lead and copper rule. I had asked you a question, made a request regarding do we have an inventory as a city of the lead pipes that are around the city? Because water is flowing through, and if water is flowing through, then there's contamination or potential contamination. And so this will help us begin to do that inventory, because you also stated that as you are replacing those meters, you are evaluating on the water side, you are evaluating the piping that's connecting to that meter. Did I understand that correctly?
That's correct. We will assign a staff member that will also make sure he's in line with that contractor. We will generate work orders affiliated with it. So as this information is not only being put on, it's being inputted in our system as well, so that we'll be able to have, you know, we can go back in the future and see what we've audited, what we left out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And now, if we were to approve this, and with the other information that you have given me, I'd like to, because there are federal dollars that are available to communities to help with this inventory. And this all came about as a result of the Flint, Michigan issue, right? And you know, I'd like to bring that to the city for us to consider taking advantage of that opportunity. So thank you so much for that.
All right.
Mr. Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. Sir?
Yes.
So in listening to your responses, this system is also going to afford us and the resident an opportunity to look at live on-time readings. When you see a fluctuation where there's more gallons going out than normally, now you can also determine whether it's on the house side or it's on the city side.
That's correct. Yes. That is what we're doing now is the four bases of it, which is the AMR. Once we've built the AMR structure, we move into the AMI, which is a host computer, and it's collectors throughout the city. So as a residents take, for instance, want to know, okay, what is my bill? What is my reading right now? Once they go in the account, it sends a signal automatically out there, gather the present reading, what it is, and the data, and sends it right back to the customer. So they can read that right on the spot, real-time data.
So a nerd like myself be pulling out my phone and every day just looking, just making sure that I'm not using too much.
Right, and it can be done on an hourly basis, monthly basis. I don't want to.
That's it.
That's it, yes,
okay.
Sir.
Anybody else? I just wanted to say, members of council, in case you, for several of you that were here, this is a very similar item that was brought to you from Mr. Ridgeway in 2016. The difference now in this case, it actually has a database that the information is sent back to. I remember actually, we were going to reduce the issue then was labor, going literally door to door or meter to meter. In this case, they were actually able to ride down the street and literally ride down the street and get the meter reading. So this is actually, in this case, an upgrade of the same identical system. I remember that well. I'm amazed that in four, five, six years on it, only went up $87,000. It was $500,000. I remember that item specifically. So, again, I think this is a much needed. And again, we're coming in just into the new technical world when it comes to this type of utility. So with that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Next item.
Next item is downtown stage and courtyard sign installation and education campus dedication for mayor and council to approve the installation of replacement plaques and sign lettering for the dedication of the Betty Hanna building. This item will be presented by the Economic Development Department.
Good evening, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
And City Council.
We are happy and pleased to bring this item back before you. This is an item that the Mayor and City Council approved, brought up on May 9th, with the replacement plaques and sign lettering of the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard honoring former Mayor Councilmember Franklin May Arnold. It was decided that a similar effort should be take place, replacing former Mayor Betty Hanna's plaques and naming one of the buildings at the Education Center in her honor. If you can bring up the presentation. Perfect. Okay, next slide, please. Next slide, please. Next slide. These on to your right is the current condition of the Mayor Betty Hanna's plaque, which is placed on the education campus. If you can, you can see that the weathering has taken place. You can barely read it. Next slide. Next slide. So we are going to, next slide, please. We are going to replace, next slide. Okay. Next slide. I think that's a different, this is a different presentation. Yeah. Pardon us for just a moment. There's one that's July 11th. Yeah, July 11th, yeah. The great thing is we were able to use the same company, which is Eagle Sign Group, an American Sign Company. They have prepared some replacement plaques for us, for the Betty Hanna, as well as they have recreated dedication plaques for both the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard and also for the education center. The funding source is going to be announced. The replacement plaques and lettering are estimated at $12,662.75. The wonderful thing about that is that they are bronze and will not have to be replaced again. This is the right presentation. Thank you for your patience. So these are the replacement plaques. The Frankie Arnold dedication plaque will commemorate the stage lettering with our current mayor and city council. Again, those are bronze plaques with raised lettering, and they are reflective of the previous plaques. Miss Frankie Arnold, her family have given us some dates where they can do the dedication, so that information will be shared with Mayor and Council. Next slide, please. This is the Betty Hanna dedication plaque and dedication to her service. Again, it is commemorative and includes our current mayor and city council. Next slide, please. The dedication plaques will be placed on, if Mayor and Council have had the pleasure of going to our Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard at this point, you'll see that the lettering has already been installed. And the plaque adjacent to the stage, in the front of the courtyard, we will put the dedication plaques on the right. Next slide, please. This is the replacement plaque for Mayor Betty Hanna. Next slide. And this is the lettering, how it will appear on the education campus. Next slide. Again, this is copper lettering that will not bleed, so it will stay in pretty much pristine condition throughout the years. Next slide. And are there any questions?
What I'm going to do is bring that item to the floor. Members of Council, you have before you for Council to approve the installation and replacement of plaques and sign lettering for the dedication of the Betty Hanna Building. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion to approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Davis. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes. Mr. Whitmore?
Can you pull back up the plaque for Mayor Hannah? While he's pulling it up, I think he went
to a different
pretty fast there, but I see here what I have in my packet here. You have the dedication plaque and dedication to the of the City of Fairburn Education Building, that's going to be for, okay, that's the old one in honor of, right? Mm-hmm. And the new one looks like what?
The new one looks like in dedication of the City of Fairburn Education Building. That would be on the slide, the next slide. There it is right there.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
They were different.
At one time we was talking about just replacing the old plaque with the same, but we are dedicating the educational building,
yes,
the
sir.
Administrative building, and naming it after Mayor Hannah.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I was making.
So the additional plaques, hence the cost was a little bit more because we're going to have the replacement as well as the dedication plaques.
That's it for me, Mayor.
Okay, Ms. Davis.
I just want some clarification. It says the budget impact is none, but the funding source is coming out of the mayor and council, $12,662.75.
Right, and we need to correct that. The budget impact, this will be an additional. The initial one that we did for the Frank Arnold Stage and Courtyard had already been paid for, so there was not a budget impact, but in this case, there would be.
And it's the mayor and council's line item.
Yes, ma'am.
We're paying for this. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Go ahead. Just for clarity, this item wasn't budgeted in the economic development. Okay.
And I just want to just say, prior to taking a vote, I'm grateful that this body agreed that both areas and plaques are in both buildings. Actually, I have to give honor where honor is due. Despite the fact that we named those two areas, the Betty Hannah Education Campus as well as the Frank Arnold, I have to give honor to Mayor Hirsch, who actually thought the need to go and actually buy the letters and put them on the building. So for the Frankie honor, so I want to just give honor where honor's due. But again, we couldn't honor two more great women in our city. And that is the first African-American elected official and then the longest serving mayor of the history of this city. So,
and both, first female.
And the first female mayor of this city as well. So two great women. With two different flights for the City of Fairburn. So with that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All in all opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is number 6, ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article 4 for off-premises special event permits. For Mayor and Council to approve the ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article 4 of the Code of Ordinance to authorize the issuance of off-premises special event permits to provide local businesses in good standing the ability to sell alcoholic beverages off their normal premises during special events. Economic Development Department again.
Fairburn is home to an emerging arts and entertainment district. As we continue to implement the city's creative placemaking strategy, we have incorporated special events and innovative projects to bring visitors and residents in our downtown and also to promote business revenues. Off-premises special event permits allow local businesses who have alcohol licenses and are in good standing to sell malt beverages and fortified wines off-premises. They also provide for a fixed location, and they do not permit alcohol beverages off-premises, which cannot be lawfully poured on licensees' premises. They also allow the city to set parameters regarding alcoholic where alcoholic beverages are poured off premises through the permitting process. They do not fundamentally change existing alcohol beverage pouring requirements. All distances and hours of operations requirements set forth for on-premises consumption must be obeyed. Only licensed businesses who have obtained an off-premises special event permit are allowed to pour. And off-premises special events permits are the best interest of the city because they allow the city to set parameters for the pouring of alcoholic beverages during special events and provide our businesses with opportunities to sell. For that reason, we are asking, the staff recommends that the mayor and city council approve the ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article 4 of the Code of Ordinances to authorize the issuance of off-premises special events permits.
Mr. Council, you have before you for the mayor and council to approve the ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article, is that Article 8? Gotta make sure I say the number correctly. Article 4 of the Code of Ordinances to authorize the issuance of off-premises special event permits to provide local businesses in good standing the ability to sell alcoholic beverages off their normal premises during special events. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion is made to approve by Mr. Powell. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smallwood. Any questions or comments by council?
Just a comment.
Mr. Whitmore.
Yes, Mayor. I think this is the perfect opportunity to address some concerns of some of the other businesses that we have in the city of Fairburn. In light of, especially during football season, there was a manager from one of the gas stations that they're not allowed to sell their beer and wine on Sundays because they don't have an establishment. So what happens, they're missing out on revenue, whereas they'll go to Palmetto, they'll go to Union City to purchase from those establishments versus staying right here in Fairburn. So I would like to ask the city administrator if he can actually take a look at that and poll those businesses that do have the ability to sell, but they can't sell on Sunday, and see if we can look at something to amend our ordinances so that they will be allowed to do so as well. That way, it's putting them in a position of profitability as well as increasing taxes.
Any other comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next item, Ms. Clerk.
Number 7, ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article 7 for issuance of micro distillery licenses for mayor and council to approve the ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article 7 to provide legislative parameters for issuing micro distillery licenses within the city for manufacturing, sales, and distribution, economic development.
So Fairburn is home, proudly the home to Cochran Mill Brewing Company, a microbrewery that manufactures, sells, and distributes craft beer. They are seeking a distilled spirits permit, which would allow them to obtain or purchase additional equipment so that they could distill. It also would allow them to distribute under the state and federal distilling laws. Approval of a micro distillery license would benefit the city of Fairburn by an expansion of the brewing company, adding value, creating jobs, and furthering promotional branding efforts of Fairburn's only brewing. The brewing company seeks to expand its business through the distilling and will join currently 17 other breweries in the state of Georgia who have similar distilling ordinances and growing. Now, I have a quote from the owner, but I would like to invite him up, if it's okay with mayor and council, for him to speak briefly about what his goal is to expand.
Evening, mayor and council.
Good evening.
My name is Jet Hadaway. I'm one of the owners of Cochran Mill Brewing Company. And while I have the floor, just really quickly, it's the first time that we've actually officially addressed this body since we've opened almost more than 2 years ago now, is just to speak a little bit about what brought us to Fairburn. When the first time I looked at the LCI document for the downtown area here, I immediately recognized the potential for this area as one of the probably one of the largest economic development prospects in the city. And as I've seen other breweries grow in small towns across the state and across the region, it's become very obvious to me that these breweries tend to be community hubs. There are places where people gather. There's places where you meet your neighbors over a locally crafted product, and you're interacting with visitors. And so they also act as catalysts to activating some of these smaller downtown areas. And so we were immediately grabbed by that idea, and that's one of the things that brought us here. And through that process, we are incredibly grateful to the city staff, the police department, fire department, utilities department. We've received incredible professionalism, promptness, and just have had an overall positive experience from beginning to end, and are more than thrilled to be in this kind of thriving business environment. And we look forward to how it evolves in the future and hope to continue to be a part of that. So to speak a little bit to the distilled spirits permit and the reason that we are pursuing it. So currently we do hold a brewery license with the city as well as the state and the federal TTB. We are currently distributing our product in Fayette, Coweta, and parts of Fulton County, and are starting to grow. And so at this point, we are looking to expand our facility both in a production as well as make improvements on our tap room to better facilitate private events and just bring in more of the community. And so a big part of that initiative is to include the distillation of spirits. Much of the equipment we already have, a lot of the equipment in that process is very similar to what is used in the brewing process already. So it's not a very far jump for us to get there. The state does accommodate this use in tandem with the brewery license as well as the federal. But it all is sort of standing. It all kind of is a... the prerequisite to those licensures would be to procure one with a local authority, that being the city of Fairburn. So we are currently seeking this out as a way to diversify our product line, both in distribution and in the tap room. We actually don't intend on serving shots or any kind of neat spirits that we produce on site. And the reason being is that one of the things that sets us apart from a traditional restaurant or bar is that we pride ourselves on being a family-friendly environment. We let people bring their dogs, their children, their families. We have live entertainment a couple days a week. We have food trucks that come out. And so this is a community gathering place, and it's very important to us and our brand to maintain that character. And so in keeping with that, we intend on using our spirits exclusively for craft cocktails, which maintain the same alcohol-to-blood volume as our current offering in our beer lineup. So that we have no intention of changing that for those reasons stated. So at that point, again, I would just like to express our gratitude for you guys letting us be a part of this community. One of the really exciting things about breweries is that the brand of a brewery is often tied to a sense of place. And so for us, that's Fairburn. If you ever see our logo, it has Brewed in Fairburn. It's stamped right on every label that we have. So every beer that's going out into the marketplace, and in this case, if we're able to procure a distilled spirits permit, we will be brewing or distilling gin, vodka, whiskey, and bourbon. Those products would also display the stamp of Fairburn as well, made right here in Fairburn. And so those things, as they scale, they do draw more tourism, they do draw more attention. But, you know, a big part of our brand is this place. And so I want to emphasize that. And as we're growing and diversifying our product line, that will continue to be the case. So I'll go ahead and open the floor up for any questions that you might have for me.
We'll bring the item to the floor. Members of Council, you have before you to approve the ordinance to amend Chapter 8, Article 7 to provide legislative parameters for issuing micro distillery licenses within the city for manufacturing, sales, and distribution. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion made by Pat to approve.
Second time.
Okay.
Well, why not?
Don't show excitement.
I had to mention the name because I don't hear that often. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Davis. Any comments? Mr. Whitmore.
Yes, Mayor. No comments to you, Jet. Again, I was called by a neighbor of mine and came by, and we had very good conversation. So looking forward to when I can have my mug up there. But, Mayor, my comment is I know that we're starting back up with South Fulton Municipal Association, and we have a sister city that has used their brewery for one of their South Fulton Municipal Associations, and I think this would be a great way to let our other municipalities know that we have one here in the city as well. So I'm just asking if you would consider allowing us to have one of our scheduled meetings with South Fulton Municipal Association held at the brewery there. And I think it'll be good times, just like it is when we go to the ones outside of our city.
We'll have a conversation offline with the city administrator and the city attorney.
I tried.
Okay.
Yes,
Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones and then Pat.
Yes, and I can vouch for the family-friendly atmosphere. I really applaud what Cochran Mill has been doing. They had a farmer's market. They had a, what was the cookout, you know, several of those. And it truly was family friendly. And we really got to meet a lot of local craftsmen, not only, you know, the brew house, which he did, but the farmers and their wares, chefs and their wares. I mean, really high quality fruits and vegetables. And food. And so I'm glad to see this come before us because we did have a conversation about that as well. And I think it's a great opportunity for us. And we also talked about you being more of an integral part in the City of Fairburn's community events. And so I want to say for the record that we want to take you up on that offer. Okay, and thank you so much.
Pat, you had a comment?
I occasionally will play guitar and sing out there, too, for what it's worth.
Any other member of council? I just want to say congratulations, sir. Again, thank you for the invite we had earlier this year to walk in your place. And me and the city manager, and I believe a couple of council people came. And so, again, thank you. I'm looking forward to this. And, again, I want to thank Sylvia Abernathy again, her outreach to the business community again. Thank you so much. With that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay.
Next item is number 8, Program Management Agreement with Atlas Technical Consultants for Program Management and Engineering Services. For Mayor and Council to approve the task order with Atlas Technical Consultants for various projects within the City of Fairburn in the amount not to exceed $72,800 for fiscal year 22 and $271,600 for fiscal year 23. I believe engineering.
No, I'll take that one.
Oh, City Administrator.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Again, this particular item is a task order with an existing contract with Atlas Technical Consultants to primarily focus on a couple of key areas. Earlier, we had one of our residents that asked about the bond reference on their tax bill. And as most of you probably recall, there was a referendum in 2011, and we have since been collecting revenue on that bond. We've collected approximately $3.2 million. The primary projects, as you may also recall, were the Duncan Park pool and splash pad, which has gone really, really well. But the second major component of that was Fire Station 23 on Mullen Road. And so that project has not been able to move forward for a number of different reasons over the last several years. And it is a huge opportunity for us as a City of Fairburn. Not only is it a huge opportunity, it is really a necessity. In order for us to maintain our ISO rating, we have to have service in a location on that side of the city, and currently we do not. Chief Robinson would speak and tell us that he's already had some communication from the ISO organization that is something Fairburn needs to be moving forward on. So this particular agenda item would allow us to have some program management services through Atlas to make sure that these projects actually move forward on a timeline. In addition to Fire Station 23, at our last council meeting, the first meeting in June, you approved our ARPA funding plan. And this particular funding item was a part of that plan. It amounts to about 4% of our ARPA funding, which is typically the level at which project management services are on contracts of this nature. We set aside $3.1 million to look at all of our city facilities, to refresh those facilities, to look at space allocation. So in addition to Fire Station 23, this also will help us to make sure that we are utilizing those projects that we are intending to do under the ARPA plan and make sure we have a timeline, efficient plans, efficient evaluation. We want to make sure that we don't allow this money just to sit there, but that we're actually executing, hence this particular item for council's consideration. And with that, I'll stop and answer any questions you may have.
Members of council, you have before you, excuse me, for mayor and council to approve a task order with Atlas Technical Consultants for various projects within the city of Fairburn in the amount not to exceed $72,800 for fiscal year 22 and $271,600 for fiscal year 2023. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made to approve and second by Ms. Davis. Any questions or comments by council? Mr. Heath?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, we had like shovel turning, I guess, back while the previous mayor was in office, and we were under the impression that this fire station was going to be built within a very close time, and we are six to eight months away from when that took place. So what is the holdup? I mean, we don't have the money. What is the holdup?
Funding is not the issue.
Okay.
The issue has been execution. At this stage, based on all the information I've been able to garner, talking with Chief Robson, talking with our building official, Harvey Stokes, all we have are concept plans. We don't actually have architectural drawings for a station. I'm not quite sure why it didn't move forward previously. Concept plans are not what you build a fire station off of. It's what it sounds like. It's a concept. We took a field trip, you may recall, a few weeks back to look at the fire station in Henry County that's very similar to the one that we are looking to build. One of the reasons I put this item before counseling at our retreat, we talked about this as well, is that the failure most often in projects like this is execution. So we're fortunate in that the funding, because of the bond referendum that our residents approved, is there for us to move forward on this. We've simply not been able to get the project off the ground and moving forward, and that's exactly what project management focuses on. So I can't give you exact details on why it didn't move forward previously, but this effort will make sure that we are actually putting timelines on paper, we're tracking projects, getting architectural plans, and that dirt starts to move.
Well, I know that I was talking with the persons that were going to be involved with the construction of this fire station. And the way they were talking, they were going to be ready to do something within the next week or so. And so, like I say, you know, here we are so many months away from that particular time. It makes me wonder, you know, why are we at the point that we are? Because you're right, from my understanding, a friend of mine got insurance in that area, and their insurance rates just for on their house to just cover theft, not fire or anything else, was over $900. And so I asked the insurance agent, why is that? And they said, well, Fairburn is a high-crime area. And also, you know, everything seemingly is concentrated fire station-wise in your downtown area. There's nothing out where you're living. And so I told the person, you know, it is proposed. I says, but I, like you, am wondering, why are we dragging our feet?
Well, again, I wish I could shed more light on what got us here.
Right.
What I am very confident in is that with council approval of this agenda item, we will have the resources on hand where I can provide definitive progress and updates to this council on not only Fire Station 23,
right,
but also the $3.1 million that this council has approved to assess and look at our space allocation needs across all of our city facilities. And so that is the core of what project management is designed to do. Lastly, I would tell you, I would dispute whoever's assessment is that Fairburn is a high crime area. I don't believe that to be true at all. I've looked at that information, and so I reject that premise. But be that as it may, we want to move forward on these projects and make sure ISO does connect to homeowners insurance very directly. And so us moving forward on the station not only helps with homeowners insurance, but in all honesty, makes us a safer city.
Yes.
That's really what the key point is. We want to make sure that we're always putting health and safety at the front of the agenda, and this fire station is needed primarily for that as well.
Well, I did relate to this person that we were just recently noted to be the 10th safest city in the state
exactly.
of Georgia. And he says, well, that's not what the insurance agent is putting out. So I just, you know, I just wondered about that. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Whitmore?
Well, thank you for clearing that up. And the only thing I can think of, we have some neighboring municipalities that use a 30213.
Exactly.
It has high crime.
Exactly.
But it does not mean it's in the city of Fairburn.
Because
we are pretty tight on that. So
we need to get their mail transferred. Where do they get their mail?
Any other? Anyone else?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
I am overjoyed to see this come before us. This fire station has been, well, 2011, we bonded for it. And every year we were talking about building the new fire station, And so I am pleased to know that that day has arrived.
Good.
That being said, if this is approved, what is the timeline? What's the next step?
So the next step is the consultant that we've contracted with Atlas will begin before the end of the month. I'll have a firm date. That was pending this approval, but that person will be on board before the end of the month. We'll immediately begin approaching all of those projects we talked about this evening, Fire Station 23 being at the top of the list, but also the ARPA plan as well. This particular person is an engineer. And so they will have the ability to really look at these projects in extreme detail and make sure that we're moving forward. I have done similar work through an urban renewal plan. It requires detailed project lines of the procurements. We just hired a new procurement manager that began last week. And so we're putting the building blocks in place to make sure from a staff perspective that there's no reason for this to slip through the cracks. You've got to have those resources available. With this approval, we'll have those in place. Can move this project forward immediately.
Thank you so much for that.
Any other comment? And I just want to mention that as me and the city manager, city administrator, excuse me, talk about these different consultants. You heard us talk earlier about Christopher Pike. You've heard about us bringing one of the things we realized, and this is not just the city of Fairburn. It happens. You heard me mention, I want to say at our last meeting, several mayors. I won't name the city and embarrass them, but said they will not use the ARPA money to execute any of the construction. A lot of the apathy for not moving forward is not being sure, number one, that you have the staff qualified to actually, number one, write RFP, number two, execute it, number three, monitor federal money. Mm-hmm. And that may sound very simple, but you got to pay people to do this type of qualified work because of the auditing that comes back. The same way you can't sit here and have a person graduate from law school being your city attorney with no license. I'm sorry, there's just some things you have to pay for the service. In this case, these experts that we're bringing in, again, it's not that Fairburn is trying to be the top gun of all, but right now we're a firm believer operating number one in excellence. That's what this city council and our retreat demanded. They wanted excellence. We're having to bring the people in, resources in this case, the engineering and architectural licensed personnel. That is big in construction. You can ask some of the people that worked in major government if you've got that type of credentials. So we're getting, when I say we're getting our money's worth with the people that we're talking to right now, that's an understatement. And again, as city administrator's favorite line to the staff, it's time to get some wins on the board. You already knew what I was going to say. So this is a step in that direction to get a win on the board. So again, I'm excited as well, Ms. Jones, about what we're doing. So with that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Next, last item.
The last item is the public safety retention bonus. It's a request for Mayor and Council to approve a City of Fairburn public safety retention bonus policy for Georgia Post certified police officers and certified Georgia firefighters to receive a one-time $3,000 bonus with a commitment signed agreement to remain employed with the city for one additional year of service. Mr. City Administrator.
So Mayor and Council, I would begin this particular item by making a point that the Mayor referenced earlier in the meeting. We are currently in the midst of a pay and class study to look at every position in the city to ensure that the job descriptions are accurate, that people are not working out of class, but also to look at pay, and look at our pay structure, so that we can come back to this council in September and make a recommendation as it relates to what this study has brought forward. It's a changing work culture for all businesses, including local governments. We want to make sure that our pay scale for all employees is at market level. Again, the mayor mentioned this earlier, we're not trying to pay at the top of the scale, but we certainly don't want to be behind the scale either. The cost of living, inflation has impacted all of these issues, and so that's the first part of this, is that we're going to look at this for all employees. With that said, I think most of us recognize that there are some unique aspects to public safety because of the nature of the work that they do. What I would tell you is that looking at all of the local jurisdictions around us in the immediate area, metropolitan area, there is what I would respectfully call an arms race going on right now. If you watch the local news lately, raises of 20%, upwards of 20% or more by multiple jurisdictions within the metro area have happened within the past year, literally within the past 6 months. And so that creates a lot of pressure in the public safety community. We have an outstanding police department, an outstanding fire department, led by two really experienced chiefs, and so we're making progress. But what happens when jurisdictions around you are raising by 20% is that you run the risk of losing typically your more experienced officers. And so in a department our size, to lose four, five, six officers with multiple years of experience would be a significant challenge for us. Typically, when you lose those experienced officers, you end up replacing them with entry-level officers. So though you fill the position, you've lost a lot of that institutional knowledge. And so this retention effort will allow us to stabilize our public safety staffing as we work through the pay and class study that I referenced earlier. It requires a one-year commitment. If you look at jurisdictions around us, this is on par with typically what most other agencies are doing. We also want to make that commitment to those who put their lives on the line to protect our community. Let them know that we're serious about staffing, about pay and class for all employees, and help stabilize our public safety staffing as we work toward ultimately the appropriate pay and class, both for public safety, but for all employees as well. With that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Members of Council, you have before you to approve a City of Fairburn public safety retention bonus for Georgia post-certified police officers and certified Georgia firefighters to receive a one-time $3,000 bonus with a commitment, sign an agreement to remain employed with the city for one year additional year service. Is there a motion?
So moved. Surely so moved. Everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a call. Okay.
I'll do a second.
Motion is made by Ms. Davis, second by Mr. Heath. Any comments or questions?
A comment, Mayor.
You're ahead, Ms. Jones.
Just briefly, Mr. Phillips and I talked about this, and I know he's also spoken with others of my colleagues regarding this. And you're absolutely right. It's on the news almost every day, city offering to pay signing bonus of X dollars because we're all scrambling for public safety employees. That being said, Fairburn is a small city, so, you know, we can't afford what everybody is offering, but we can make a good faith effort, which I think this does. And so I appreciate you taking into consideration the comments and concerns that I had regarding that. And I do hope, I know salary is a very important issue or component to an employee, but Fairburn offers so much more. And so I ask you to have that as part of your conversation with the employees as well. So thank you so much for your effort, both you and Ms. Chris.
Any other comment?
I have one.
Mr. Heath?
Having been in law enforcement myself for 25 years and retired, I worked Fairburn Union City and with MARTA my last few years in downtown Atlanta. And to be in Fairburn as opposed to being in downtown Atlanta, you could only imagine the difference. I mean, it's like a combat zone. Then you get back down into the smaller cities like Fairburn and Union City and all. Sure, you have problems, but those officers put their life on the line every day. And these are things that we need to comprehend and take under consideration. And I just want to thank you, Mr. Manager, and all for coming up with this, because I think it's been due for a long time, and I just thank you. And thank the citizens for being in support of our police and fire department, because without them, we would be in a perilous time. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. And I'd just like to mention that we take it for granted the loss of, and I believe it was mentioned already, the loss of institutional knowledge, and I'm referring to fire and police at the management level. From sergeant and up, and that what happened when you start losing that type of managerial experience, and if I'll start with police, that's where you end up with reckless police brutality cases, because, again, the lack of institutional knowledge has disappeared. One of the things that we also have been blessed, in this case, actually, the chief that's now chief is the person that got us in the top 9% back then, and Chief Mathis was able to sustain that for the last 4 years. But also another area that we take for granted, again, we're one of the few agencies with the number one still on our fire trucks, right? We're one of the few agencies that five in the state, only five in the whole state. Now, we take that for granted when you see that police, the fire truck pass by with that number one, but that means ISO rating is to remain in good standing as a result of keeping that rating, which we display on our fire trucks. So, again, that is a result of institutional knowledge at the managerial ranks in both agencies. So I'm asking again, as we look forward to upgrading our entire government from top to bottom, again, right now we can't drag our feet in this area, because the other agencies, as I heard in GMA, again, I mentioned this earlier, I was blown away with several mayors that mentioned to me that they haven't even thought about looking at their police. And once the pay is up, I'm going to make sure those cities get an advertisement for police and fire. So I'm just being open about it. So, again, with that being said, is there all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I'll start with our closing remarks with Ms. Mayor Pro Tem.
No comment, Mayor.
Mr. Palin?
No comment.
Mr. Smallwood?
No comment.
Ms. Davis?
No comment.
Mr. Heath?
No comment.
Mr. Whitmore?
No comment.
Okay, and I have not. We have an executive session. Mr. City Attorney, I want to make sure a motion to go in executive session for litigation, right?
Yeah, litigation.
Okay. Can I entertain a motion to go in executive session for litigation purposes?
So moved.
To go motion. To executive session for litigation.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Ms. Davis, second by Mr. Heath. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Before I exit, I'd like to recognize our former Clayton County Chairman, Mr. Andrew Bell, that came tonight with you. Thank you, sir. All right.
He's here to see me, I'm sure. He's here to see me. He's like,
oh. They got time to use the restroom?
Lord.
Thank you. They got time to use the restroom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're now back on the air. Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Ms. Davis is a second. Second by Mr. Heath. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
That's it. Night.
This is kind of night is.
Good.
Yes.
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 Yes.